I invite you to turn to Luke chapter 2 with me this morning. We're going to dive in today looking at the Christmas shepherds. And what an inspiring story this is for us, how God came and Jesus came, took on flesh, dwelt among us, but how the shepherds were the very first ones to get that news outside of Mary and Joseph and Zechariah and Elizabeth. They were the very first ones to get that news and to be those first witnesses of Christmas. As you're turning there, I want to share with you, starting on January the 7th. January the 7th is our 21 days of prayer and fasting. And so Living Hope Faithful, I invite you to, during this Christmas season, stop and consider prayer and fasting. What are you going to fast from as we start the new year? We've been doing this now for multiple years. We spend the month of January in prayer together. And I challenge you to take time to fast and to seek the Lord as to what His will is for your life, what He wants to do in your life, to get a fresh sense of who He is. And so 21 days of prayer and fasting starting January the 7th. And we're doing a series entitled Giving Church. We're going to talk about what a life of generosity looks like. And just a little foreshadowing, it's a whole lot more than money, isn't it? It's not just about money. It's about our heart and our lives, all that we are and all that we have laid before Him. So 21 days of prayer and fasting starts January the 7th, and you make plans to dig in and pursue God in a fresh and new way during that season with us. Missing Jesus. Everything we try to replace Jesus with never seems to last. There's some interesting facts to note about Christmas from our society. This is interesting. 92% of Americans surveyed say they celebrate Christmas. 92%. Surprisingly, 81% even of non-Christians surveyed say they celebrate Christmas, which includes 87% of those who mark they are of no religious affiliation at all, and even 3/4 of American Buddhists and Hindus. Say, so about 75% of Buddhists and Hindus in America say that they celebrate Christmas. More than 7 in 10, 73% say that Jesus was born of a virgin. 81% surveyed say they believe He was laid in a manger. 75% say that wise men guided by a star brought Jesus gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. 74% say that an angel of the Lord appeared to shepherds to announce the birth of Jesus. 74%. And so about 65%. So right at about 2/3 of American people surveyed say they believe all 4 of those statements in total exactly as the Bible says that it happened. Yet, Jesus sure is missing, isn't He? From our culture. In fact, even at Christmas time, in our schools and our businesses and corporations and different places around our country, major colleges and universities, man, if you say something about Jesus or put Christ in Christmas instead of just saying happy holidays, man, you're going to offend somebody. Isn't that right? We live in such a politically correct society today that we've just kind of pushed Jesus, even though we celebrate Christmas, we just kind of push the whole Jesus thing aside, the fact that He came and God in the flesh and came to die for our sins. Speaking of political correctness, it reminds me of this poem that I read about politically correct Santa. Okay, so see if this rings true in today's day and time. 'Twas the night before Christmas and Santa's a wreck. How to live in a world that's politically correct. His workers no longer would answer to elves, vertically challenged they were calling themselves. And labor conditions at the North Pole were alleged by the union to stifle the soul. 4 reindeer had vanished without much propriety, released to the wilds by the Humane Society. And the runners have been removed from his sleigh. The ruts were termed dangerous by the EPA. And to show you the strangeness of life's ebbs and flows, Rudolph is suing over unauthorized use of his nose. He went on The View in front of the nation, demanding millions in overdue compensation. And as for the gifts, why, he'd ne'er had a notion that making a choice would cause so much commotion. Nothing of leather, nothing of fur, which meant nothing for him and nothing for her, nothing that might be construed to pollute, nothing to aim, nothing to shoot, nothing that clamored or made lots of noise, nothing just for girls or just for the boys, nothing that claimed to be gender specific, nothing that's warlike or non-pacific, no candy or sweets, they were bad for the tooth, nothing that seemed to embellish a truth. Dolls were said to be sexist and should be passe, and the PlayStation would rot your entire brain away. So Santa just stood there disheveled, perplexed. He just could not figure out what to do next. He tried to be merry. He tried to be gay. But you've got to be real careful with that word today. His red bag was quite empty, limp to the ground. Nothing fully acceptable was to be found. Something special was needed, a gift that he might give to all without angering the left or the right. A gift that would satisfy with no indecision each group of people, every religion. So here is that gift, its price beyond worth. May you and your loved ones find peace on this crazy place called Earth. Does that sound like our society today? A little bit? Yeah. We love to celebrate Christmas, but the whole Jesus thing, the whole Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life, and coming to die for our sins, and that call for us to follow him, no, that's something we want to sweep to the side or sweep under the rug. This Christmas, don't miss Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Isn't that right, church? It's all about him and what he came to do for us. And he offers us today the free Christmas gift of eternal life. That's the only way that we're made right with God is through Jesus. And that's why he came. Well, in Luke chapter 2, these Christmas shepherds, they didn't miss it, did they? They didn't miss Jesus. When they heard the news about the Messiah being born, they went with haste to go and see the child, to worship the child. And then they told everyone around them all about this good news of the gospel. Why don't we read together? Luke chapter 2, starting in verse number 8. It says in Luke 2 verse 8, it says, in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. Oh, Jesus, be lifted up in this place. Christmas is all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. May you receive all the glory, the honor, and the praise. And Lord, if there's any man, woman, boy, or girl here who doesn't know you, who's not received that free gift of eternal life, I pray, Lord, that you would save him or her today. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. One of my most favorite characters in the Christmas stories is shepherds. These Levitical shepherds, man, they got it, didn't they? And they had been trained how to spot those lambs for sacrifice as they were born. They tended, as we talked about last week, they tended the temple sheep, the temple flocks on the hills outside of Bethlehem. And their job was, as these lambs were born, the spotless, unblemished lambs were to be sacrificed at the temple. So they were trained in how to inspect these lambs. Jesus, and we'll talk more about that in just a little bit, and a sign that God gave to them. But even though they were Levitical shepherds, shepherds were still, in Jesus' day and time, they were considered unclean, unfit, unwanted, cast off by religion and by the religious leaders of the day. The days of Moses and David, when they were shepherds and when shepherds were considered somewhat endearing, those days are gone at this point. And shepherds here, they're considered in Jesus' day dishonest and unreliable. In fact, shepherds, their testimony in the court of law was not considered credible in most instances. And it was think about this, it was these very shepherds that Jesus made the very first witnesses, that God made the first witnesses to the birth of the Messiah. The point is today, if you feel unclean, unfit, unwanted by religion, not good enough, not smart enough, not holy enough, man, that the love of God and Christmas is for you. Isn't that good news today? It's for sinners just like us. Christmas is not for the religious elite. It's for those who need a Savior, who need the hope of the gospel. And not only that, these shepherds were the very first spokesman, again, for the Messiah, for the fact that he had come to earth. Today, if you feel like you're unqualified to be a witness for Christ, you are the very one that God wants to use. Isn't that good news today? These men were not trained in the rabbinical schools. In fact, they had ended up shepherds most likely because they weren't smart enough to get it. And so they had been cast off and cast aside by religion, not smart enough, not clean enough, not pious enough, not religious enough. But yet they're the very ones that God chose to be witnesses for him. And so too, God still uses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, doesn't he? Jesus said, I came to bind up the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, right? To preach the gospel to the poor. I mean, that's what Jesus came to do. And so that is his ministry. That's what Christmas is all about. And in this passage, we see a group of men who got it. They heard the message and their life was changed. First of all, in this passage, notice the message itself. God sent an angel down to give them this message. And in the message of the angel said a mouthful about the gospel, didn't he? The angel said a mouthful about the gospel. Consider the message here. He said, first of all, do not be afraid. These shepherds, they're frightened by the supernatural display, aren't they? But I can't help but wonder if not only were they afraid of, God peeling back the sky and giving them this view of these angels in heaven. I can't but help if they weren't also afraid that the judgment of God had come to them. They had been told by religion all this time that they, again, were unfit, unwanted, unclean, not religious enough, not smart enough, didn't know enough about the Hebrew scriptures, didn't know God and didn't live the proper life. And so I can't help but wonder if the fear that they had was maybe now the judgment of God has come and to us. But that's not what the message was. God speaks into the life and says, listen, do not be afraid. Aren't you glad today that we can give all our fears over to the Lord? He is our Prince of Peace. Come on now. He is our Prince of Peace. Whatever you're afraid of today, you can give it over to him. And by the way, the judgment of God. Listen, our God is not a judgmental, condemning God. He's a God of grace and of love. Yes, he is holy. Yes, our sin separates us from God. But any man, woman, boy, or girl who will come and acknowledge their sin and confess their need of the Lord will be saved and forgiven and made right with him and wrapped in his arms of love. He says, fear not. Then he goes on to talk about good news. Good news. Who wants some good news today? Come on, church. We need some good news, don't we? And the word here is euangelizo. It's where we get the word evangelism, which means to speak the good news of the gospel of Jesus and how Jesus saves. The Bible gives us bad news. What's the bad news? Well, the bad news is that you and I are sinners. God made us. He gave us His laws and His commands, but we disobey Him, and as a result, we're separated from Him. We deserve His judgment. But the good news is, Jesus left heaven, came to earth, clothed in human flesh, 100% God, 100% man at the same time, and He went to that old rugged cross, as Pastor Kevin was talking about, and shed His precious blood for us. The only way we can be made right with God, He paid that debt we owed to God. They put Him in a tomb, then He rose from the dead. That's the good news today, isn't it, church? Hey, but hang on. The Bible also has the best news. Hey, what's the best news? The best news is it's available. It's a free gift today. Listen, you receive it by simple childlike faith. Simply acknowledge your need of God. I'm a sinner and I need salvation. And call on the name of Jesus and ask Him to be the Lord of your life. Hey, fear not. I've got good news. And then He says, of great, what? Joy. Joy. Christmas can be a very difficult time for some folks too, can't it? If you've lost a loved one or a family member or a friend close to you, man, Christmas can be a very difficult time, can't it? Or if you've lost a job recently or received a bleak diagnosis from your doctor. All kinds of different circumstances can make Christmas very difficult for people. But aren't you glad today that Christmas, the whole message of Christmas is, listen, no matter what we're going through, there is a Savior. Come on now. Emmanuel, God is with us. He's with you in this. He's a good provider. He is a healer. He is your Savior. He will give wisdom and strength and peace in the midst of whatever you're walking through. He comes in and He meets us in our loneliness and fills us with His presence and His love. Oh, I've got good news today of great joy. Joy is deep-seated contentment no matter the circumstance. And that's what the gospel gives us when we know Christ. There's good news of great joy. And He says here, it's for all the people. The free offer of salvation is for everybody. Come on now. It's for all. It's for the Jew and the Gentile. It's for every race and every nationality. It's for both the rich and the poor. For the person who grew up in the church or the person who maybe you're here today at a church for the very first time in your life. Listen, the gospel is for you. Isn't that good news today? All people. Jesus came for all. And then He says here, I've got good news of great joy. It's for all the people. For unto, He takes it from all to you, the shepherds. For unto you there is born in the city of David, in Bethlehem, a Savior who is Christ the Lord unto you. Listen, it's not enough just to know that Jesus died for all, that this salvation's available. You have to receive it personally, don't you? You have to personally, we have to each one personally profess Jesus as Lord and Savior of our life. Unto you, even these shepherds, the angel came, told them the message. But even that, listen to me, even that supernatural angelic encounter wasn't enough to save them. They had to surrender to Jesus. They had to profess Him as Lord of their life. They had to receive this baby as their King in their personal lives. What about you today? Is Jesus Lord of your life? Which leads to the three terms. What are the three terms here that they use? Or that the angel uses? He says, unto you today in the city of David in Bethlehem, there's been born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Three terms there. And in order to be born again, listen to me, in order to be right with God today, and this is the most important part, right, of the whole teaching today, is what are you going to do with this? What are you going to do with Jesus? Don't miss Jesus. Don't miss Jesus. In order to be born again, Jesus must be, in your life and mine, Savior, Christ, and Lord. Savior means today, you and I, listen, we must acknowledge our need to be rescued. That we're hopeless. Listen, that we're hopeless without Jesus. We must acknowledge our sinful state and that we need to be rescued. Savior, but then Christ. Christ means He is the long-awaited Messiah. He is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies. And that's where faith starts to come in, where we say, God, I believe Your Word. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God, the long-awaited Messiah, and that You are coming again to set up Your kingdom on this earth. He's got to be Savior. He's got to be Christ. But also, thirdly, He's got to be Lord of your life. Lord. And Lord means that He now is the boss, the master, the king of your everyday life. And like I've said many times before, it's not perfection. We're not saying that you won't mess up along the way. The Bible says he who says he has no sin is lying. The truth is not in him. It's not perfection, but it is a new direction of life. Now, I was living this way. Now I've turned from my sin and I've placed faith in Christ and I'm following Him. Following Him. Is Jesus Savior, Christ, and Lord in your life today? If not, He's inviting you today to make Him Savior, Christ, and Lord. That's how you're born again. That's how we receive the free gift of eternal life. Elf. How many people like Elf? You like that movie, Elf? What did Buddy the Elf say when the manager of the store came in and said, 10 o'clock tomorrow, Santa's coming. What did he do? Man, he hit the fan, didn't he? Santa, right? Santa is coming. Listen, I got good news today. There's one who's greater than old Saint Nick that has come and is coming. Come on now. His name is Jesus. The angel told them here, listen, behold, He is here. Then at the empty tomb, He told the ladies, behold, He ain't here. He has left. And then at the ascension, the angel spoke and said, listen, while y'all hanging out here, He gonna come again just as He left this place. And by the way, He knows who's been, He's the only one who knows who's been naughty or nice. Listen, He's the only one who has a list. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. And it's only those who have placed faith in Christ that are going to be saved and made right with Him. That's it. That is the message of Christmas. That's the message of the gospel. Listen, Jesus is coming. He's coming. Are you ready? Oh, He already came. Give us a sign, God. He's like, hello. I did. And I have. And I am. Right? You got the church. You got the Bible. And by the way, I came and took on flesh. Dwelt among you. You have the historical evidence of that. You have the testimony of millions of people whose lives have been changed by this Jesus. What else do you need? What other sign do you need? And oh, these shepherds, that's all they needed, man. Angel gave them a word, and off they went. And we see lastly here their movement, don't we? Their movement. Now, don't miss this. Whenever your life has been apprehended by the gospel, if you're truly saved, born again, there'll be movement in your life. Is that right? Come on, church. How many would testify today? There'll be movement in your life. Hey, I just talked about how, you know, we're going this way, and repentance and faith says, I turned from my way, and now I'm following Jesus. I might have some missteps. I will have some missteps along the way, but this is the direction of life now. It's following Christ. He's Lord. He's the Savior, Christ, and Lord of my life. And these shepherds, think about it. Could they have made some excuses here? I mean, they're watching the temple sheep. You think that's a big deal? You think their job was pretty important to inspect these lambs and make sure that that these lambs were born? And that, I mean, even in their birth, if you remember from last week, we leaned into the history of the swaddling cloths and why that's a sign. When those lambs were born, they took those strips of cloth, those same swaddling cloths, and would wrap those lambs tightly so that they wouldn't be injured, because an injured lamb couldn't be sacrificed. So the sign for them, Jesus wrapped in those swaddling cloths, is a picture of Him, His precious blood shed for us, the Lamb of God slain. That's the picture, the sign. So, was their job a big deal? Sure it was, wasn't it? Who's keeping the sheep right here? I don't know, doesn't matter. There's something more. Listen, there was something more important than their responsibilities. Some of you are here today and your job or family or all these other things, you're letting all that come between you and God. And it sounds like a good excuse because those are responsible things. Those are good things, right? Take care of my family and I got to build that house and I got to keep that job and I got to do these things. And church kind of interrupts all that. Jesus kind of interrupts all that. Friend, listen, if Jesus is an interruption in your life, he's not Lord of your life. Okay? So they had to lay down their excuses. Secondly, they had to lay down their pride. Think about it. They could have been really bitter at God. Because they've been kicked out of the rabbinical schools as, growing up, most likely. They were unfit, unwanted, not smart enough, not good enough. Now all the they've got to inspect the lambs, but not even allowed to go into the temple. They got to take it to the priest. The priests need them, but don't want them. Could they be a little bit bitter about that? Could they be a little bitter, prideful? Absolutely. They could have been angry at God, but they laid all that stuff down in humility here to go see the Christ child. Not only that, they had to lay down their shame. Their shame. Again, they had been told just about all of their adult life they weren't good enough, not religious enough, not holy enough. Some people, when you invite them to come be involved in the church, and by the way, coming to church doesn't make you right with God, right? No more than going to McDonald's makes you a Big Mac. Can I get an amen on that today? That's just true. Coming to church doesn't mean you're saved, doesn't make you right with God. But when you're right with God, you have a desire to worship God together with his people. That's the point. And some people, when you invite them to church or you invite them to Christ, man, have you given your heart to Jesus? Man, won't you trust Jesus? Man, it's a free gift, eternal life. Don't you want to know you're going to heaven when you die? And you ask folks, they say, well, I got to clean up, man. I got to change some stuff where I can come up in there. You ever heard that before? I got to get some stuff right, man. No, friend, listen to me. That's the whole point of the gospel. That's the whole point of Christmas. You can't clean up. You can't do better. Neither can I. It's not about dressing up and cleaning up and, man, I got to quit smoking and quit drinking and quit doing this and, and all these things. And no, friend, Jesus changes us from the inside out. Just come as you are. Aren't you grateful? We serve a God who wants us just as we are. Just as we are. So today, come just as you are. The shepherds came just as they were. They laid aside their shame. They could have showed up there for what they had been told about religion and God spoke there, Mary and Joseph spoke, or God spoke through them just saying, what are y'all doing here, guys? Listen, y'all don't fit the mold here. We'd prefer y'all just step to the side, but Mary and Joseph too themselves were outcasts, weren't they? And they had already seen the work that God had done in their life, so they embraced these shepherds and the testimony God had given them. By the way, it was confirmation to Mary and Joseph, wasn't it? When the shepherds came. This is the Christ child. They needed their faith strengthened as well. Mary's not God. Come on, somebody. Come on, all my Catholic friends in the room. Mary ain't God. Y'all all right? Jesus is Lord. Mary is revered as an incredible testimony. Now, let's be fair there, okay? Let's be fair, for real. Incredible testimony, but she ain't God. We don't pray to Mary. And so they show up and Mary had to place her faith in Jesus and now they're embracing these shepherds because they too understand what it's like. So today, what about you? Listen, this Christmas, don't miss Jesus. The shepherds got it. They came with haste. Anticipation. They told everybody, man, when you love Jesus, when you love somebody, you're going to tell some people about it. We see admiration there. Man, they admired Jesus so much. They're telling everybody. But we also see appreciation here. It says they went back. They had to go back to the sheep. When you get saved, you got to go back to work. You got to go back to life. But now you're different. Now you're different. You're changed. And you're out here sharing Christ with everyone else. And you're living a life of praise and worship unto the Lord. They went back glorifying and praising God for all that he had done. Movement. Listen, this Christmas, don't miss Jesus. Don't miss Jesus. There's an Italian Christmas legend about a lady named Befana. It's interesting. And the legend goes that she lived on the dusty road between Jerusalem and Bethlehem, and that she was the best housewife in the village. The most meticulous housewife, cleaning her home and taking care of the laundry and cooking the meals. And she was known as the best housewife in the village. Well, the legend goes that on the night where the star was leading the wise men to Jesus, that three wise men, three kings, came and knocked on her door. And they said, "Do you mind if we rest for a while? We're looking for the long-awaited Messiah, the King of the Jews." And Befana had grown up a, devout Jew, devout Hebrew, and so she knew the prophecies, and so she was excited at their message. And the legend goes that they invited her to even join them on the journey. "Well, then here, go with us." But she said, I've got to finish cleaning, and I've got to finish some laundry. I've got some things I've got to finish here at the home. And so why don't y'all go ahead, and I will follow soon." And they told her, they said, "Okay, just follow the star. Just follow the star." Well, she got busy cleaning, and it ended up being all night long, her preparations for her family. And as the new day was beginning to dawn, she threw on her heavy cloak and went out the door. Well, lo and behold, the star was gone. And so now the legend goes that she had a gift, a little doll that she wanted to give to the Messiah. So from that point on, the rest of her life, she would take a sack of gifts at Christmas time and would go and would drop them off at the houses of children, hoping that just maybe one of them was the Messiah. Church, the moral of the story is pretty obvious, isn't it? Don't get so busy with life that you miss Jesus. Christmas is all about Christ. Today, is He Savior, Christ, and Lord in your life?
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's podcast. So glad you could join us. If you've given your heart to Jesus, text HOPE JESUS, all one word, text HOPE JESUS to 77411. HOPE JESUS 77411. And let me encourage you to subscribe to this podcast. If you hadn't done that already, make sure to hit that subscribe button and share it out. You never know whose life might be changed by simply sharing this message today. So share it out, okay? And so thank you again for listening in, and we invite you to listen in with us next week.